The ESRI has weighed into the debate over whether people should have a 20% deposit saved in order to get a mortgage. The central bank's proposal is controversial. Would a 20% deposit mean more chance of avoiding a mortgage arrears crisis, or would it prevent first-time buyers from buying a home? The bank's period of consultation has just come to an end. A decision will be made next month. I'm joined in studio this morning by Dr. Kieran McQuinn, Associate Research Professor at the ESRI. Good morning.
Good morning.
You don't agree with the 20% figure. Why not?
Well, I think firstly, it's important to say that the macroprudential framework or proposals, it's very important that we have such a system in this country. We've seen the excesses of a credit-fueled bubble, which was experienced up to 2007. And essentially, a macroprudential framework is the only real protection that we have against that type of occurrence again. So we very much welcome the macroprudential framework in principle. The issue is how you apply it and when you apply it. And I think that's what we have focused on in our submission. The bank has come out and said, you know, with a kind of a flat rate proposal, if you like. Our suggestion is that really, if you look at other realms of economic policy, the most efficient way very often in which you apply policy is to use essentially rules. Rules provide clarity, if you like, to the market. But also the type of rule which we propose is a countercyclical rule. And what we mean by that is essentially it takes into account where the property market is at a point in time. And I think that's very, very important. And we've outlined 3 to 4 different indicators which we think should be used in assessing where the market is at. And on the basis of that, then the targets in terms of loan to value limits or loan to income limits then should be applied.
So you think, as it stands at the moment, what Patrick Honohan is proposing is too rigid?
Essentially, yeah, exactly. I think the issue is that you need, our contention would be that in terms of the efficiency of applying policy in this area, it needs to take into account where the market is at. For example, in terms of the indicators we've outlined, we've suggested, for example, house prices be looked at, the relationship between house prices and where fundamentals are in the market, but also that you look at, for instance, issues such as mortgage credit, and you look at, for instance, the rate of construction or housing supply. Now, if you look at those kind of indicators at the present point in time, housing supply is, I suppose, that has been identified by many commentators as the major issue in terms of the issues afflicting the housing sector at the moment, and the need essentially to increase housing supply. If there is one possible outcome of applying the measures as they presently stand, is that it could have implications for housing supply going forward. So I think it is very important that you take into account where the market is at and you use a broad set of indicators to give an accurate reflection of
that. Do you agree with the need for a deposit? Because if you look at the figures, I think it was a study by Davy Stockbrokers back in August 2012. They did some figures and they showed that mortgage arrears on mortgages given out before 2005, 2.1 billion. Mortgages given out after 2005, mortgage arrears climbed to 8.9 billion. And that was after the 100% mortgages, interest-only mortgages, were made available to people.
Very much so. I think what we have suggested in our submission is that essentially you take a kind of a range. So, for instance, you go from an upper limit of 90% LTV, and then you can possibly scale it all the way down to 75%. And where you are in that range, if you like, where the regulatory authority sets the limit, is a function then of where you think the market is at on the basis of the indicators that I've just outlined. It is essential that you have some level of deposit. Our contention would be that you start at a 10% as a minimum, and then, as I said, you work up and down the scale on the basis of where the market is at. Just one further point, I suppose, in relation to this is when people talk about credit conditions and macroprudential policy, they very often focus on the headline issue of the loan to value. The bank has also proposed to look at the loan to income ratio, and that's very important because indeed research I was involved and myself shows that the loan to income channel was mainly the channel that was used by the Irish financial institutions to increase the level of credit during the boom. And it's important that you keep focus on both.
But what you're proposing, this more sort of flexible approach, a more dynamic approach, that would mean more frequent interventions by the central bank in areas that are very politically sensitive, whether it's mortgage lending or construction, and they may be very reluctant to do that.
Well, I think what we've suggested is that, and I think it's important that this kind of analysis be done on a regular basis for sure. I think you're talking, possibly on a quarter by quarter basis. I think ultimately the outcome of a successful applied rule like the one we're talking about is in the long run, it should ensure far greater stability in the market, for the reason that if it is successfully applied and efficiently applied, and done so in a very transparent fashion, then everybody in the market begins to understand the rule and understand the implications of the rule. And in other areas of of economic policy, it's been demonstrated that when people understand a rule, see that it's applied, it almost becomes bid into people's expectations and behaviour, and ultimately the outcome should be far greater stability in terms of price levels and far greater stability in terms of housing supply levels, and to ultimately get us away from this kind of awful boom bust cycle that we've been in for the last few years.
And do you think these guidelines should apply right across the board? Because if you look at property developers, the losses suffered by Irish banks on poor property loans way exceeded their losses on bad mortgages. Yet we're not seeing any guidelines on loans to property developers.
I think ultimately there should be a framework in place for property developers as well. As you say, I mean, the scale of losses indicates that for sure. Ironically, I suppose at this point in time, property developers accessing credit is one of the issues that has been identified as a problem on the supply side of the market. And so, again, I think if you were applying those measures, you probably need to do so on a basis that is countercyclical, that does take into account where the market is at. Otherwise, there's a danger that you essentially, if you like, limit too much the level of credit at a point in time when maybe the credit provision and credit levels aren't the kind of the major issue in the market.
Final question really on the budget, and you're predicting growth for next year. Unemployment, you say, will go below 10% next year. Your report has said, your recent ESRI report, that the most recent budget was regressive again, that the top earners benefited from it more than lower earners. The government rejected that assertion. You presumably stand by it.
The piece you're referring to is by Professor Tim Callan and his Switch team, which look at the distributional assessment of the budget. Their results are out there, and Tim has been responding to various different points, and it certainly stand over it for sure. I think our assessment of it in terms of the quarterly economic commentary is looking at the budget at an aggregate level. And our assessment was, we suggested in our autumn commentary that the budget should be fiscal neutral, which we felt would bring in a deficit next year somewhere in the region of 2%. Ultimately, the budget was expansionary to the tune of around 1 billion. Most commentators agree with that. That's going to push the deficit up next year to 2.5%. It'll still be within the bounds, the 3%. That's the target set for next year. But overall, our assessment would have been that the budget was probably less cautious than we would have liked it to be.
But water charges may have an impact on that ultimate deficit.
Obviously there is the assessment next year as to whether the arrangements in place for the water charges meet certain criteria. If those criteria aren't met, then it obviously will come onto the deficit, have implications for the deficit next year.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning. Dr. Kieran McQuinn, Associate Research Professor at the ESRI.